Welcome back to Lili Logic. You can reach us at lililogic.com. Check us out on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. And I'm so excited to have back our millennial, Max, who is an accidental activist. And really, does it matter how he got here? He's an activist. And we've been talking about how the 99% of us who are not billionaires need to get together, coalesce against this malignant minority, the 1% that's really in charge of everything. And is that a group worth not liking?
That's a minority worth hating. Because, that is a minority worth speaking out against.
Well, and they are running the world, essentially. They are not loyal to America. If America disappeared, they'd be somewhere else. It's about money and power. And I don't think this is really any different than, like you said, the monarchy back in the day. So one of the things we can do is read the Republican playbook, which means working at your local levels, getting involved at your local levels. One of the things I like that you do is posting in non-political forums about your personal experience. And I always love art, you know, whether it's photography or music, and people bringing attention to this is not right. And we do see that, but unfortunately, our mass media is very corporate controlled. So we don't see as much of that.
So from what it looks like, even getting to that local level, especially from an artistic expression, I live in a very red area. And for the last roughly 18 months, the amount of stickers I saw that had it was Joe Biden pointing and said, I did that. And I'd see them at the gas pump when gas prices were high. I'd see them at the grocery store when, you know, I mean, grocery prices are still high. Saw them everywhere. And what that little thing did was galvanize this idea of, oh, Joe Biden's why stuff's expensive. The Democrats are why stuff's expensive. So we just need that. We need not that. And people lean towards Trump. So where artistic expression comes into play is a matter of like, there are stickers out now that's got the same exact thing, but it's Donald Trump. Blast that shit everywhere. I don't care that it's vandalism, because it's the largest form of vandalism we're experiencing is the, you know, it's the, our government functions right now are being vandalized by people like Elon Musk and his, you know, child army, effectively. Those stickers need to go out. We need to make it clear too, that's Trump fired a bunch of people that deal with plane safety. Planes keep crashing. It's just that simple, that Trump fired people that helped prevent this, and now planes crash.
Right. So kind of whether it's true or not, you mean?
Well, and it's, I mean, that's that to an extent that's like, yeah, kind of whether it's true or not, if we are appropriating blame in the right place, it is kind of what matters to an extent. And something that is a part of the fascist playbook that Hitler was very clear about in the late 20s was that keep the messaging really simple. And it doesn't matter if it's entirely true. Like, did Donald Trump personally cause a plane to run into a helicopter and 64 people die? No, he didn't order that to happen. But when he froze all hiring at the FAA and suspended a bunch of people and gave buyout packages to air safety controllers, did that happen? And then planes started crashing? Fuck yeah.
Okay, well, then let's see what happens if we have no CIA. We'll see what, you know, what kind of bumper sticker we can come up with. And I think in a way we're talking collective unconscious here. And one thing I had two things I wanted to throw out to you. One was a millennial. It's actually someone you know had quoted an article to me, and it was about that we need to put AOC up for president. And people are like, oh, she's so left wing. And I'm thinking, I have been around for quite a while. I am a baby boomer. I'd love AOC. I think there's an idea that there are more centrist Democrats. I think more Democrats by nature lean left. And part of the problem that I've seen in the Democrat Party is being too centrist, being too afraid, being too populist. It's like, go left, go left. What are
Well,
your
the
thoughts on
difference
that? Because
is,
your generation is going to be running the world and is starting to run the world now.
there's a false equivalency of populism for those that say it and those that support it. AOC is a true populist. Majority of people I know want affordable and good health insurance. That's it. That is a just a fact right there. Most of the country wants that. Most of the country wants weed to be legalized. In Florida, you look at it that there was a really interesting amount of people that voted Republican down ballot, and then when it came to the initiatives, were pro-choice and pro-legalization of weed. What fucking Ron DeSantis put into play, though, is there had to be a 60% majority in order to have these things passed, which goes to show the Republican Party knows that progressive ideas are popular. Those are the true populist ideas. They know this shit. And so they do everything they can to ensure it doesn't happen. Part of the problem with AOC is nothing to do with AOC, but it's that she's been effectively painted by the Republican Party as some radical for a while. But if her name, if it was a just the most standard issue white guy named David Smith, who said, "Yeah, I think healthcare should be affordable and good. I think housing should be affordable. I think childcare should be affordable. And for a lot of people, I think it should be free. It shouldn't have to be so much. I think we should be able to take more vacations and not have to freak out at the grocery store and not have to worry about how or am I going to pay the utilities bill this month." Majority of the country would say, "Fuck, I love that. That's great. That's fantastic." And so it is already popular. It's just the level of messaging is so shattered. The unity, the ability to coalesce around an issue is so shattered on the left. And the right made it seem like an art because it is.
Oh, repeat that. Right made what seem like an art? The coalescing?
Coalescing a unification make it seem like an art because it is. Because there is an artistry to painting the picture. There is an artistry to selling the dream about how does your life get better? Well, why does your life suck now? Oh, because of immigrants and trans people. But without them, your life's going to be better. And it's like, well, fuck yeah, sign me up. I'm not immigrant or trans. And so that would be great. I would love for my life to be better. And the problem is that messaging has been super effective because most people don't have the time or capacity for critical thinking. And we just need to accept that.
So, in radio, we used to say the audience—it's a Novocaine audience that you had. It's why on radio stations you would hear them say, "Daily cash payoff, $25,000." The weather today, daily cash pay. You just keep hammering, hammering, hammering. So, what you're saying is we need to get mobilized around the things that matter. So, in your case, you're a parent, so it's coming to you through your child. So, do you think we all need to pick what floats our
Yes,
boat
I
and
think
get
there needs to
mobilized?
be a focus on a few issues. So I've been spending a lot of time calling my local congressmen and our senators. Two of the big things that I've focused on is immigration and education. Immigration because not just because it's cruel, reckless, and being able to tee up the infrastructure of a genocide, but from a practical standpoint, 70% of farm workers are migrants. 60% of construction workers are migrants. In California, in Southern California, there is a farm that is one of the four largest farms for all citrus products in the United States. 75% of their workforce stopped showing up because they're afraid of ICE. That is real material difference in the price of everything and how it affects our lives. And being able to focus on that's like, hey, what are our senators doing to help protect the immigrant population?
And one thing I will do is I'm going to put in the show notes Marianne Williamson, whom I love, who didn't make it for president and didn't make it to be the chair of the DNC, but has great messaging, said the first thing you can do, look up your congressman and your two senators and call them. And she gives the number for the congressional switchboard. which I will post, but it's 202-224-3121. And you can write them, you can email them. It's so easy. You just go to their website, click, you put your name, whatever. But if you call that congressional switchboard and you say, "This is a constituent call, please put me through to whoever," in our case, Ossoff, Warnock, and my congressional person is also a Democrat. What else?
Calling those in other states as well. It doesn't make you can lie to these people all day on where you live. I went and wrote a bunch of senators. A lot of their websites that have you put in an address. I just put in the governor's mansion. I just Googled governor's mansion for that state, and that's what I put in. You know, one of the congressmen in Georgia that was supporting a bill that I really disagreed with, who's in Augusta. I looked up his office address, and just it was something like 111 Fox Street, and I said 109 Fox Street. You know, so it's like just being prepared with a little bit of info and call these people, because like I'll be damned if idiot Andy Kennedy in Louisiana is going to affect my life here. That man is senile.
Oh, Max, I just got this boiled down. Personal responsibility. We have to take personal responsibility for our lives. And it's something I've been working on in my own life, but I realize now this goes all the way out to how I participate in my country and in my government. Is taking personal responsibility. I'm not a big fan of Western medicine, but I think we need universal health care. I cannot believe we live in the richest country practically in the world. And people are like, "Oh, well, you've got Medicare." I'm like, "Yeah, I have Medicare hospitalization only. I am not going to pay an extra $300 to $500 a month for services that I may or may not use. But suppose I were somebody that wanted to use those. $300 to $500 a month on a fixed income is a boatload of money."
Well, especially too when your fixed income doesn't go up, but the amount of money health insurance costs does.
Yeah.
You know, talking about personal responsibility, that's where I think it matters communicating to people on what is the personal effect of these things. Because I'm not going to find somebody realistically that's going to say, no, your special needs child doesn't deserve education. If we're talking about healthcare, no, your special needs child doesn't deserve Medicaid to get the therapies they need to have a hopefully independent life. No, we don't need someone to pick our crops. No, we don't need someone to work at a meat packing facility. I mean, the reality of it is like everything affects everybody in some form or fashion.
So basically, pick what you're passionate about and what interests you and go for it.
Yeah, pick the thing that if you got into an argument with a guy in a Denny's parking lot that you'd be willing to fist fight over, pick that and go with it. Go with the thing that makes you leave angry messages for elected officials. You know, it is. I told a congressman yesterday that through all of the 83 Samoan people that ended up dying due to a large anti-vaccination campaign from RFK Jr., I said, I hope those 83 Samoan people haunt you like the ghosts of Christmas past. You know, it's like you can leave these people messages. You
You
can be
take what
passionate.
you're passionate about. And I think even someone, when they speak from a place of passion, is much more convincing than if you just go, "Okay, well, I should really care about special needs kids, but I don't know any." So yeah, so find what you're passionate about. And then if you feel moved, local newspapers, people read those things
They
online,
do.
social media for small towns, or I know you've written some for your small town that you're in Georgia.
Well, and you know, I mean, something that you know I think is important and shows the power of what it means to be in a small town and how that changes things is Springfield, Ohio. Where, you know, they had a large Haitian population that came as refugees and effectively saved the town as a dying Rust Belt town they were able to help prop it back up because they finally had workers who gave a shit, people who were starting their own local businesses. The housing got better. That affected that entire community drastically in a really positive fashion, except there was more traffic and maybe it took a little bit longer in the ER. But it's like, you know what? Those things are fixable. But when it came out that the Haitians, they're eating the cats, they're eating the dogs, that put a town that no one gave a shit about on the map for obviously the very wrong reasons. But it goes to show the importance of messaging when it comes to this small town, because there's as much as people live in big cities, there's a whole lot of nothing in between them all across America. A lot of people live in this whole lot of nothing in between them.
Yeah, we live in Atlanta and it's a city surrounded by Georgia. And it's easy to think, oh, well, everything's fine. I'm in Atlanta and, there's the nice sidewalks. And I got a thing from the city of Atlanta last night saying the water line is being repaired and don't you worry. And I woke up this morning, they're like, the water line's been repaired. Well, that's not the case everywhere. The potholes aren't being repaired everywhere. So I think it does help to get out of our own little thinking and go bigger. But yeah, whatever your gig is, if you're an artist, if you're a writer, whatever you think, whatever you feel.
Yeah, whatever's sustainable and you're passionate about,
Okay.
and there's evidence that quantity trumps quality. Through and through.
Okay. Can you use that in a word that doesn't use the word Trump?
Quantity overrides quality.
Thank
The
you.
quantity of you can put out a quantity of dog shit messages, but people will eventually latch onto it. But you put out sparse, really good messages, falls to the wayside.
Well, I have a theory that goes way, way, way back to my first radio days. When people would say, what makes a hit? Well, first thing is, if a 3-year-old's dancing to it, it's going to be a hit. That's one thing. And the other is, if you play anything over and over and over and over and over again, it will become a hit because people know it. And this is exactly what you're saying. Repeat, 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 repeat.
And know when to pivot as well. Know when to move on. It's like that song Happy by Pharrell. That's any person who worked retail in the 2010s. It's a fucking song of nightmares.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you heard it all the time, but there was a period of time that that song was really catchy. And like, no, I kind of like this quirky little song. And it was in the Minions movie, and it's everywhere. And it's like, it's one of those things that it got exhausted to a point of now people just hate it, but people know it. People see, they see a Minion thing wherever, and that song might come to mind. They're in the store, they hear it, like, oh, it's a fucking happy song. And that's
And
something
then
too.
you're singing it the rest of the day.
Yeah, and that's something that the Republican Party has done really well with is, all right, move to the next thing. Just squeeze this thing dry, get it in their brains, and move to the next thing. It's there.
Oh my God. I gotta tell you, this morning I woke up at 4 o'clock. At 4:30, I saw the thing that where Trump had talked about turning Gaza into the next Riviera, and it was make Gaza great again. And I thought, it's catchy. It worked. Make Gaza great again. Oh my God, all you got to do is now change that A to a G and go take it over there and sell that baseball cap.
Well, and what it does as well is it paints a picture for people. They think, yeah, I think Gaza's been really fucked up. Let's make it great again. That sounds good. Those people don't take into account the billions of dollars we gave to Israel to commit genocide when, 90% of casualties are civilians, where there's children being purposely shot in the head by the IDF. That's not in the calculus for make Gaza great again.
Oh no. I mean,
And that's not what people know or latch on to.
yeah, no, it's like to me, I think of is it Abu Dhabi that's the one that was kind of created out of nothing? Where it's like, oh, let's go take a completely decimated piece and we're gonna make it swimming pools, movie stars. So, okay, well, I think we have a plan. We have a revolution. And we have a solution.
Yes, call your local elected officials, talk to people in your life, put the differences aside that you're able to, and agree on the fact of this shit sucks, and the minority responsible for it is the 1%,
Yes.
and that's not okay.
Yeah. Amen. I love it. Max, you are a millennial. You're an activist and a very smart young man. I thank you for taking time today to educate us and give us some ideas about, hey, what is really the problem and what can we do to begin to fix this?
Yes.
Max, gosh, this is so helpful, and I appreciate your time today. I want to hear more about what we can do. One of the things that I think was really helpful, Marianne Williamson gave the number to the Capitol switchboard, so you don't have to individually call your senators. You can just call this one number, ask for your senator, ask for your representative, and that number is 202-224 3121. Once again, Capitol switchboard number, call, ask to speak to your congressman, tell him it's a constituent call, 202-224-3121. Thanks for being my guest today on Lely Logic, Max. And your last word would be what?
We just have to remain hopeful, hopeful and in motion. So, and thank you for having me.
Ah, great note to end on. Lely Logic comes to you every week, and thank you for listening. LelyLogic.com is the website, and please check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok.